Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're the only one who has arrived, so we'll be waiting.
We're waiting.
Hello.
Hello.
We can be, let's give it another half a minute and then we'll begin.
I'm taking the gun with me.
I'd appreciate it if you'd both mute your phones because of the background noises.
Okay.
Thank you. This class is a Jewish history class. We teach according to the times, which generally means following the parasha, which is describing Jewish history in one sense. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud, and then we will be discussing the parasha of Korah, which starts with the book of Numbers, chapter 16, starting with verse 1, and this is where we will be reading. L'shem Yehud Kutshabrihu Ishkinde Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Leakta L'shem Yudhe Bavate Beyehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasot Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kononehu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kononehu. Chapter 16, verse 1 of the book of Numbers. Now Korach, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohat, the son of Levi, with Datan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Pelet, sons of Reuben, took men. All of the sages comment on this word or this phrase, they took men. What is wrong with taking? That's really the question that they ask when they comment on this part of the phrase. There are other comments as to why Korach has this long lineage. What is the purpose of expressing the lineage, indicating that he comes from the tribe of Levi? But he's the fourth generation. Now, one of the interesting things about him being the fourth generation, we have a tradition that teaches that there were 974 generations prior to Adam. And this is referring to, generally, it's understood to be referring to the first of the 7,000-year periods. And it teaches us that we are in the second of the 7,000-year periods. But if we take the idea that there were 974, then there was 10 generations from Adam to Noah. That's 984. And then there were 10 generations from Noah to Abraham. So that's 994. The 12 tribes is 995. That's the tribe of Levi. Then the generation of Kohath would be 996. The generation of Issachar would be 997. And Korach is the 998th generation. The word 98, it's tzadichet, tzach. The 98th generation is cleansing. What is it cleansing? It's cleansing the 900. We have a tradition that teaches that whenever you see a number in the Torah dealing with hundreds, you're dealing with Bina. Bina represents the world that is coming. It represents Ima, the Partsuf of Mother. And the concept of the Partsuf will become clearer in a few minutes. Korach was cleansing the mother, was cleansing Bina. Why does the mother need cleansing? In the teachings of the breaking of the vessels, which is essentially being what's taught as metaphor, is that the vessels broke because they didn't talk to each other. They didn't say, "This is, you're giving me too much. Slow it down, break, hold it off. I'm not ready for all of this." And so they broke because there was no communication. And that can be attributed or attributable to this generation where we see so many divorces, so many breaking of the marriages, because there's no communication in relationships. Which gets us back to this idea of taking. The children of Israel stand for one essence, and that is to share. Because Hashem's attribute is to share goodness with his creations. The children of Israel connect to this consciousness of sharing. As we're taught, this is the correction of mankind, to change the selfishness, which is the energy of taking. I want for myself, bring it into me. And we know that when a baby is born, one of the neurological developments that the pediatrician looks for is if he takes the arms of the baby and puts them out, brings them away from the body. Will the baby bring the arms back into the body as a natural reaction? And this is the energy of what it is to be human. I want everything brought into me. Another way of saying is, I want to take everything into me. What's wrong with taking is it's not sharing. What's wrong with taking, and this was the mistake of Korach, was he wanted what wasn't his. And this is a lesson for all of us to learn. I'm going to continue to read verse 2. And they rose up in face of Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 men. They were princes of the congregation, the elect men of the assembly, men of renown. What does it mean that they rose up in the face of Moses? The concept of face, F-A-C-E, is the Hebrew word partsuf. It's plural of a face. What is a partsuf? It's a structure of 10 sephirot. We speak of get out of my face in our modern generation. Give me space, meaning get away from me. Get out of my face. This language is very clear. Do we really need space? Do we really want people to get out of our face? We want them to get out of our face, but we're saying we want everything. So how do we reconcile these two different aspects? If I want everything, then why would I mind somebody being in my face? The reason I don't like people in my face is because I don't like their ideas. I don't like what they're telling me. I don't like hearing that I'm not perfect. But the knowledge that you're far from perfect is important. And it's important for someone to stand in your face and help you understand that. So invite all these people into your space, so that you can hear them better, so that you can evaluate their words to know what it is you need to cleanse. And they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you lift up yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. We really have to delve into these two verses, number 3 and number 4. Exceedingly. We have to go into them deeply. Korach was saying he was veiling his desire. His desire was to be important. His desire was to be Moses. But he was veiling it with a logical argument. Since the children of Israel are holy because Hashem is holy, and we learn that in the book of Leviticus, Hashem says, you are holy because I am holy. He left out the word because, but if you read the the verses, it's always saying, I am Hashem, I am holy, and you are holy because I have chosen you. And that is Korach's argument. The children of Israel are holy because Hashem is holy. And he says here, and the Lord is among them, meaning among the children of Israel. So why do you lift yourself up above the children of Israel? Why do you say you're better than I am? Why do you say you're better than the others who are children of Israel? We're all holy. What Korach is saying is there's no hierarchy. Everyone is equal. And this is a very important aspect that the generation in America is dealing with. Is everybody equal? Some people are smarter than others. Some people have better ethics than others. But everybody is equal in one thing. It says in this Declaration of Independence in America, everybody, all men are created equal, meaning all men are created equal to pursue happiness, to pursue their fulfillment. All men are not equal. All men are given different traits to pursue their purpose in life. And their purpose in life, when they pursue it, is what gives them joy and happiness. Yes, we are all equal in the pursuit of happiness, in the pursuit of what it is we're here to do. But Korach is saying we're all equal in all areas and all attributes. You're not better than I am. And the truth is, when he says to Moses, you are not better than I am, what he's saying is, I think I'm lower than you. Because he really appreciated that Moses was following his path and Korach wasn't following his path. But how do you know what your path is? This is the question. And this is the issue. Because to be able to see or to perceive your path, and this is the month of Tammuz, which deals with sight, in order to learn what it is your purpose, you first must cleanse. The fourth verse that I read is about Moses hearing it and falling on his face. Do you really think that Moses fell on his face, that he laid down on the ground in front of Korach and started to think about what Korach was saying? That is the meaning of falling on your face? As a child, that's what I thought. The words are simple. Their words are direct. But what are they really telling us? Remember, the word face is connecting to the Kabbalistic concept of a partsuf, a complete structure of 10 sephirot. The verse is short. And when Moses heard it, the cause is hearing. Moses heard the words. Moses knew what those words were saying was creating a mistake in one of the Sephirot. And he then fell on his face. He went deep into himself. He went into meditation. He went into analysis. He knew which Sephirah Korach was blemishing, but he didn't know which component of the partsuf of that Sephirah, which component of the 10 within that Sephirah that he was blemishing. He knew which part of his himself he was blemishing. He knew which part of the nation he was blemishing. We speak of chesed of Hachma, or chesed of Bina, or chesed of Malchut. We know there are 10 Sephirot within each Sephirah. And within each of those 10, there's another 10. And every time I say 10, I'm saying Keter, Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut. The structure of 10 is always the same 10, but it's within another Sephirah. A more expansive, a more expressive Sephirah. And then I look into which of those 10, and then I find there are 10 more to look at, to evaluate, to understand. There's always more to go into. It's always deeper to learn. Moses heard. And he knew it was the Sephirah of Bina that Korach was dealing with. Well, where in the body is Bina? In our physical body, where is Bina? Bina is in the head. But which of the 10 within the head? Where is it? Where does Bina represent within the head? Because there are 10 within the head as well. The eyes are Chachma. The ears are Bina. The nose is Zeranpin. And the mouth is Malchut. All within the frame of the head. What Sephirah does the head connect to? Is the head the Keter? Is the head Chachma? Is the head Bina? Rather than try and understand that, let's relate. Moses heard. What did he hear? He heard Bina needs to be cleansed. But what within Bina? Which of the 10 within Bina is needing to be cleansed? And that's where he fell on his face. That's where he evaluated. That's where he went into his self to find which of the Sephirot was involved. The fifth verse. And he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, in the morning of the Lord who will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. Even him whom he may choose will he cause to come near to him. He's saying to Korah, in the morning, what is the morning? The morning is the energy of chesed. With chesed, with loving kindness, Hashem will show who are his. You can't see where you are without knowing where you are. And the result of knowing who you are and the knowing of where you are, this is what will bring you closer to Hashem. These words are very clear. But we read them as stories. We don't look to the Kabbalistic understanding of these words. We don't go into the deeper levels. And this is our mistake. This is what I'm trying to do with this Jewish history class, is to give you these deeper insights. The sixth verse. This do. Take your censers, Korach and all his company. What is a censer? A censer is a vessel to hold incense. Actually, it's a vessel to burn the incense. And put the fire in your censer. And put incense upon the fire before Hashem tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord does choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. Moses is telling the Levites, he's telling Korach, what are you doing? You're a Levite. You're a left column personality. And in the morning, you don't have the authority. You don't have the power in the morning as a left column. You're going to ask Hashem to choose you in a time period that isn't yours. Ask it to be changed to the afternoon, when your period of judgment is strengthening you as a Levite, as a left column. Moses is giving the message three different times. And let me read the verse one more time so that you can see where he's hinting at all of this. And put the fire therein, meaning put the left column in the censer, and put incense upon them. Incense draws you closer to Hashem. That's chesed. Before the Lord tomorrow. Not now. Not when we're in the afternoon talking about this, but in the morning when it's chesed. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord does choose, the Lord does not take, the man chooses. The man that the Lord chooses, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi, you sons of the left column. You take. The code words are there if we would only pay attention. We don't even have to read the Hebrew. The translation is clear. The Sefirot are being expressed to you. As students of Kabbalah, utilize the code words that you learn from the Zohar. Verse 8, and Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi, you're cleansing Bina, you're cleansing the world that is coming. You're the left column. You're the ones who need to do that cleansing. But now is not the time. It is but a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them. Korah, it is a small thing to you. You do not appreciate that you have been tithed to the service of the children of Israel, the work in the temple. You think that's unimportant. You don't appreciate how powerful you are because of that tithing. You've been chosen to be closer to Hashem than the other children of Israel. Does this apply to us in our generation? The children of Israel have been chosen for what? They've been chosen above or to become a light unto the nations. They've been chosen to learn their path, their purpose. The other nations aren't told. The nation's name tells them. Just like your name tells you what your path is. But the reality is the children of Israel are explained, this is your path to be a light unto the nations. Yes, you're elevated above because you have greater responsibility. You Levites aren't appreciating that you have greater responsibility to serve in the tabernacle, to serve and to minister to the children of Israel. How does this apply to ourselves today in this generation? It's pretty severe. Do we appreciate what is our task? The modern state of Israel was founded as an effect of the horror of the Shoah. The modern state of Israel was founded with a duality, with two distinct goals. The modern state of Israel was founded to be a nation like every other nation. And that's the way they feel. We're a nation, or a good nation. We have democracy. We vote. We make our decisions. We defend ourselves. We're a nation like every other nation. And at the same time, the modern state of Israel is founded as a different nation, as a nation that is separated from the other nations, as a nation that has a task to do. The task is to be a light unto the other nations. What does it mean to be a light? It means to be an example. But what are you an example of? You're an example of what Hashem wants all human beings to become. Does that make you better than the other nations? No. It makes you more responsible to learn, to demonstrate what it is to be human, what it is the human is to become, how the human is to grow to become divine. This is the nature of being the child of Israel. This is the purpose of the founding of the modern state of Israel. But is the modern state of Israel doing its work? That's a question that each of us would have to answer for ourselves. Verse 10, and that he, Hashem, has brought you, the Levites, near, and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you. And will you seek the priesthood also? You've been appointed to serve in this tabernacle. You've been appointed to minister to the children of Israel. And you also want to be a priest. What's the difference in serving in the tabernacle and being a priest? A priest has very specific tasks. The Levite's tasks are more general. The priest slaughters the animals. The priest brings the sacrifices from the children of Israel. It's very specific and it's a very narrow process. As you become holier, you become more elevated, and your tasks are no longer general, they become specific. How can you be in the general state of serving the children of Israel and also be in the specific state of doing the sacrifices? Can you serve in the synagogue and also be a priest in the synagogue? Hashem is wise. We all would say that. Part of that wisdom is to recognize there are certain groups who have certain responsibilities. But you can't do more than what is your responsibility. Verse 11. Therefore, you and all your company that are gathered together against the Lord, and as to Aaron, what is he that you complain against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and they said, we will not come up. This is someone who says, I want what I want, and it's not logical, it's not justifiable, and I'm not going to explain it to you, I just want it. What would you say to someone like that? What did you say to your children when they did this? Because this is the action of a little child. Verse 13. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? That you need to make yourself also a prince over us? Who do you think is saying this if Dathan and Abiram did not come up to the discussion with Moshe? Who's saying this? Well, the Midrash explains that even though Moses has the authority, and that Eitan and Abiram should come up to them to show their honor, their kavod for Moshe, he said, no problem, you don't want to come, I will come to you. Because the discussion is too important to be worried about the appearances that I came down to you. Moses left where he was and went to their tents and called them out of their tents. And he spoke to them where they were at, like any good teacher. The teacher has to teach to where the students are. And Datan and Aviram said to Moshe, is it a small thing that you brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey? What land are they referring to? They're referring to Egypt. You brought us into the wilderness for us to be killed. It's not a small thing. You're the leader, and yet you're leading us wrong. We can do better. The problem is, and Moses speaks to God, and God tells him what to do, and then Moses does it. And that's repeated repeatedly throughout the Torah. God tells Moses, do this, and Moses does that. That being the same as what God told him to do. Most of us, we hear from our leaders, this is what you should do. And then we don't do it. We do what we want. The leaders tell us to wear masks. Other leaders tell us not to wear masks. What do we do? Who do we follow? But in the children of Israel and in the desert, the leader is God. And he's speaking through Moses. But you have to remember that the 10 utterances, the people said, Moses, you hear what God says, then you tell us. It's too strong for us to hear it directly. But they heard the first two of the Esser Dibrot directly, and each time they died. And each time the angels resurrected them, put their souls back into the bodies. And they said, it's too much for us. You hear what God says, and then you tell us. And now, Eitan and Abiram are saying the opposite. You're the leader, and I don't like what you're telling us. I don't like the way you're leading us. I think I can do a better job of leading. They forgot. And who was leading Moses? Who was telling Moshe what to do? Who was the real leader in the desert? Who is the real leader in your life today? We all think it's us. And we're all wrong when we think it's us. The leader is Hashem. And he is telling us what to do. But we're not listening. Just as Datan and Abiram were not listening. Verse 14. Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Now, it seems that there's something's out of order in this verse. They're talking. Moses has come down to their level, meaning to physically walk through the camp to get to their tents. And they're saying, we will not come up. We're telling you what we want, but we're not going to argue with you. How often do you do that with your spouses? You disagree with them, but you don't try and argue them out of it. You say, you're wrong. Stop it. But I'm not going to go with you. Listen to me through coercion. That's what they were saying. That's what we say to our spouses. Listen to me through coercion. Listen to me because I'm not going with you. Is that coercion? Do you think your relationship with your spouse depends on doing things together? I think you would answer yes to that question. So when you say, I'm not going with you, that's not a logical argument. That's coercion. Verse 15. And Moses was very angry and said to Hashem, do not respect their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said to Korah, be you and all your congregation before the Lord, you and them, and Aaron tomorrow, and take you every man his fire pan, which is the censer, and put incense upon them, and bring you before the Lord every man his fire pan, 250 fire pans. You also and Aaron, each his fire pan. This is actually verses 15 through 17. Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, don't let them get away with this. But is that a correct response from Moses? The answer is no. Anytime you get angry, you do things that are harmful to you, that create chaos in your life. And Moses is no exception. He got angry. Why? Was he angry for the sake of the Lord? Or was he angry because his authority is being challenged? Do not respect their offering. Moses telling God what to do? I guarantee you try and tell God what to do. We do it all the time. I guarantee you it creates chaos in your life. But we do it all the time. I cannot tell you how often I've counseled people and tried to let them understand what they want to do is tell God, you're not running the world the way I want. I can do it better than you. When do you say that? Every time you say, I know what's the right thing to do, without asking Hashem, without stopping the reaction and asking for instructions. Moses never did anything without instructions, except in this verse, where he said, "Do not respect their offering." He didn't trust God. When you're angry, you cannot trust God. So what do? You take the first step. You do the best you can. And then you see the result. You let it play out. You don't tell the God, "This is what I want, and this is what it's going to be, and that's what's going to happen." You let it play out. You see what it will be. You don't try and tell God, "I can do it better." And that's what you say when you said, "This is what I want. This is the way it will be." You're telling God, "I can do better in controlling the world. I can make the world a better place because I know better than you, God." We're saying this all the time because we're upset, a code word for angry. An important place, an important thing to learn. And this one last verse. "And they took every man his fire pan, and they put fire in them and laid incense thereon, and stood at the door of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. And Korach assembled all the congregation against them to the door of the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation." So Hashem is going to make a decision. That's what Moses set up before he got angry. Hashem told him what to do, and he told them, hinted at the Levites. He gave them all the chances, and yet they still came with their own incense offering. The same thing that Nadav and Abihu did that killed them. But Korach didn't learn from their mistake. Even though he and his brothers were the ones who had to pull the rope to get their body out of the Holy of Holies, they didn't learn from observing the others' mistakes. They didn't learn from the hints. And what happened? We all know the result. The earth swallowed Korach and all of his followers. But his children did teshuvah in their minds, and so they were redeemed. They did the teshuvah. They didn't do it physically. They did it consciously. We're out of time. Does anyone have any questions? At 4:30 this afternoon, we have a deeper Zohar class, followed by a 7 p.m. questions and answers. And tomorrow will be the continuation of the Sefer Yetzirah classes. Are there any questions? If not,
I wish you all
Shalom Gadol, a wonderful afternoon. Shalom.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Shalom. Thank you.